Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No Broadway show had ever opened like that. Well, not before 1997, when the Disney musical The Lion King opened on Broadway. It reimagined the Disney film and brought the animals of the African savannah onto the stage in a way that was both breathtaking and magical. The show took the world by storm and continues to do so as it tells a simple story, The Circle of Life. Just like the Circle of Life, the Lion King itself circles around as it travels the country. It's been here before, playing to sellout crowds, and now it's back for a month to do it again. So, let's spend the rest of the hour with three of the key people involved in this touring company of The Lion King, playing through September the 8th at the Belk Theater. There are actors behind all of the masks and the puppetry involved in this production, and one of the key characters is played by Peter Hargrove. He plays Scar, the conniving, jealous brother of the king at the center of this story. We're also joined by Michael Riley, the puppet supervisor for the show, and Jeff Myers is dance supervisor and soon to be a charlatan. We'll talk about that too. Welcome to you all. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Thank you. Mike.
Peter, you're one of the stars of, even though you're the villain, you're one of the stars of this show, the man we love to hate throughout this production. And I understand that you saw The Lion King for the first time when you were 11 years old. Is it a role you always wanted to play? Is this the show that got the bug, the show business bug implanted in you?
Definitely the latter part of that. Initially, it was the show that definitely changed my life. It was the show that made me go, I want to do this back in my hometown. I saw it was one of the first professional productions that I saw. It was one of the first productions that I had a really, really good seat. My parents were great about taking us to theater, but my dad, it was just me and him, and he took me to the show, and I could see the actors behind the puppets, and there's a hyena that typically has his tongue out in our show. And the actor that was playing him also had his tongue out behind his puppet. And I was just blown away by the whole thing. So I would have taken any role in it, but it's a great privilege to play the villain to a great hero in our story.
I think it's interesting. You got the show business bug by watching The Lion King, which is full of incredible special effects and puppetry and things you don't see in any other production. And Jeff, you're the dance supervisor, and you got the bug by seeing the exact opposite kind of show, a chorus line, which has nothing but a bare stage, a couple of actors, and mirrors. How do you explain how that show turned you on to the point where you changed your life to become a dancer?
So the chorus line actually sort of put me on this this path to the performing arts. Before that, I wanted to be a tennis player, that was the first time I ever saw a live musical, and I saw those guys up there dancing, just how physical and how amazing it was, and that's when I decided I want to be up there with those guys, which also is what led me to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Because I spoke to one of the performers in the show, his name's Eugene Fleming. He played Richie, and he told me about North Carolina School of the Arts. and that was the school he went to, and that's where I should go. And and so I was actually a dance major at North Carolina School of the Arts in Winston-Salem.
This show, Michael, does not wait around to show you its tricks. It starts right from the very beginning. It starts with this incredible vocalist at the top of the show. No band, no orchestra, no music cue. She just starts singing. How she gets her pitch, I'll never know. And then suddenly, down the aisle, come this menagerie of African animals from the African savannah. Elephants and giraffes and gazelles. And it's all done through the miracle of Julie Taymor's puppet creations. And I'm not sure that puppet, Michael, is the right word here, because it takes humans to operate them, and they are as much a part of the characters as the actual puppets are. Talk about that.
You know, it's so important that we not hide our puppeteers. Like, normally you would see a puppet show, they would hide those puppeteers. We hire actors and singers and dancers, so why on earth would we hide them and all those talents they have? So it really was important for Julie Taymor to express that there's humans and there's also animals. And that sort of dichotomy between the two we play with during the whole show.
But it seems to me that some of these animals, some of these puppets had never been created before. I mean, who had ever done a full-size African elephant? Who figured out how to do a giraffe with one human being?
So Michael Curry, who co-designed all the puppets with Julie, he's a wizard, just a wizard. And through his technicians and his artisans, they created the giraffes, the elephants. And he actually showed us in his studio how he said that the giraffes would walk down his parking pad. And that's how he would know that it was going to work.
We're talking about The Lion King, which plays at the Bell Theater through September the 8th. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to take a little short break and come back and do some more. Stay with us in Charlotte Talks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
I never thought hyenas essential. They're crude and unspeakably brave. But maybe they've a glimmer of potential if allied to my vision and brain.
The evil Scar in Lion King, which plays through September the 8th at the Belk Theater.
I know that your powers of retention are as wet as a warthog's backside. But thick as you are, pay attention. My words are a matter of pride. It's clear from your vacant expressions, the lights are not all on upstairs. But we're talking kings and successions. Even you can't be caught unawares. So prepare for the chance of a lifetime.
Peter Hargrave plays the role of Scar in the production now playing at the Belk Theater. And it strikes me, Peter, I'm sure that you play, I know that you play it a little differently than that, but it strikes me that there's a little Captain Hook in that. In that characterization.
You know, the ingredients to a good villain are all basically the same.
That's right. And Disney is about to open. They're going to start building at Disney World a whole exhibit of all the Disney villains down through time. I'm sure that he will be in there. It strikes me, Peter, that although this has been a popular Disney film, it's run on Broadway for 27 years. The show has been here in Charlotte many times before, that there are people who have no clue what The Lion King is about. So give us a little thumbnail if you can.
Absolutely. You know, The Lion King is just a timeless, nostalgic tale for many of us that grew up on the animated feature or showed the animated feature to our kids, or now it's time for us to show the animated feature to our kids. And it's a timeless tale about a young man facing a lot of adversity in his life and stepping into his role as the king of the Pride Lands. And that talks a lot about our family history, our family connections, and just our personal stories. It's done that through very incredible, as you're talking about, puppetry and just breathtaking visuals that are truly unlike anything you will ever see in the theater, accompanied by amazing music by Elton John, Tim Rice, and Lebo M. And it's just the most breathtaking, magical night of theater.
It's completely unique. I don't think theater, Michael, had seen puppets like this. Warhorse came along later, after The Lion King. But when you have elephants and you have cheetahs and I'm not even sure of all the menagerie of animals, birds flying through the air, and it's all done by human beings running these things that are fully visible and are part of the characterization. Nobody has seen anything like this before. Plus, these masks that are so much a part of this show are really authentic. I understand that Julie Taymor and her co-creator went to Africa and incorporated a lot of African design into the mask, so they are absolutely authentic.
You know, just a ton of reference, and so important that you imbue our story with Africa as one of the main players. You know, when you see the animated film, you can almost forget that it's set in Africa. It's kind of a side story. Our show is very much set in Africa, and Africa is a key component to the show.
Yeah, and unless you have seen the show, it's kind of difficult to describe what we're talking about here. The word puppet connotes Muppet, or hand puppets like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, if anybody remembers them. This is not that. And the lions that we have in The Lion King are not in furry costumes like the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. Describe it. You're the guy who's in charge of all this. Describe what these things are like.
You know, we have so many different styles of puppetry, and I think it all is puppetry, but it's masks and it's giant body puppets. Pumbaa is an 8-foot-long, enormous warthog. You know, there's and shadow puppets, and there's so many different styles. It really is kind of a feast for the eyes. My greatest compliment is when people say they come to see the show and they stop looking at Peter's face to see what Scar is up to. They start looking at his mask, and that's how they tell what the story is really all about.
Well, Peter, how does that make you feel? Because you're the actor in the costume, you're the actor carrying around that mask, and I understand that the thing weighs about 30, you're carrying around about 35 pounds of gear to make that mask work. But do you worry that you, as the actor who is creating this part, will disappear?
Not at all. In fact, like Michael sort of referenced that earlier, it is that dual event is what Julie Taymor calls it, of like, you want the audience conflicted of going like, am I looking at the actor's face or am I looking at the mask of the animal that they're controlling? And we spend so much of our time in rehearsal learning how to operate our mask and move it around in a way that makes it equally compelling. To sort of play on this, like, what is our human nature? What is our animal nature? So it's thrilling to me. If you're going to carry around for 35 pounds, you better hope somebody looks at it during the show.
Yeah, and I thought it was just cantilevered. I just thought the mask flipped back and forth because you moved your body. But no, it's electrically operated with motors, and you're carrying around a little controller, right?
So there's 5 mechanical boxes that are hidden inside of my costume that get loaded up before the show. And those are carried on either side of my legs, and they have wires that run up my back, connect into a helmet, as well as through a sleeve in my arm. And then it's all done by remote control in my hand that has 2 different levers. So it's amazing, breathtaking design. It's got to be the best costume in Broadway history.
And it must open you up to breakage, as my father would say, something more to break. And we'll talk about that, Michael, with you, because you're the guy that's in charge of fixing it on the fly when things do break in the middle of the show. Jeff, you are the dance supervisor of this show. And when you talk about dance in The Lion King, I don't think you can talk about it in the traditional sense of what you would expect to see in a Broadway show, although there is some of that. How would you describe it?
Well, yeah, it goes back to, you know, what Michael and was talking about. you're not only a dancer in the show, you are a puppeteer, you know. I mean, the dancers are also singing. So when we're building the show, it's pretty strenuous because not only are you learning, you know, the beautiful choreography by Garth Fagan, you're also, after you learn all the choreography, and then all of a sudden we put a gazelle on your head and two in your arms, and then you have to still perform that, you know, that same choreography, you know. So it takes a really special performer to be able to pull off what you have to do with the Lion King. It's not only your dance technique, you also have to be a very creative and willing to learn and go on, go beyond your comfort zone in order to master these puppets and to bring this show to life.
And if you're a gazelle, you're going to move differently than you would if you were a giraffe. And a lot of this show, it seems to me, is based on movement, not just dance, but movement, particularly when you get to the things like the wildebeest stampede, which starts small and in the upstage area and then becomes fully realized as it moves downstage toward the audience. That there are flocks of birds that fly. That's all done with movement. And I'm assuming that since she did her research on the costumes, that somebody did research on the dance movement. How much of it is based on tribal movement?
Well, yes, we, well, Garth Fagan, they had a wide search of choreographers before for choosing Garth, and the fact that he was able to incorporate the sort of the African style of dancing, along with being able to bring the puppetry to life. That's the beauty of the show, especially Lioness Chant, right? So as you were speaking earlier, they're not in furry lioness, you know, costumes. They have these beautiful masks on their heads, but yet they have these beautiful silks that they dance in it, and at some point they take their heads off and they bend over, and they're, you know, they're going through, and the billowing of the silk creates this lion on the hunt in the Lioness Chant. So yeah, he did an amazing job of being able to incorporate the dance style, but also in illustrating the movement of the particular animal that you're portraying.
Your job, Jeff, one of your jobs, is to maintain the integrity of the original. So as this show travels around, it looks the same as it does in New York tonight. It looks the same as it did in New York 27 years ago when it opened, so that you're taking notes. You've been with the show for 21 years. How many times do you think you've seen it?
You know, I've thought, as my time is winding down, I've thought about that, and I have no idea. A few times. I've seen it a few times.
I'll bet. So you are, as you say, you're at the end of the run, September the 8th, which is the clock is ticking. You're going to leave the show after 21 years, and you're not just going back to New York. You're staying here. I understand you bought a house in Plaza Midwood. How did that happen?
Yes. Well, as I was traveling around the country, I was looking for a place that I thought I might like to settle. As I, you know, spoke earlier, I did go to school here. So that's sort of when I fell in love with North Carolina. I spent most of my adult life in Chicago, and I really could not go back to those winters. And so when the show came through Charlotte in 2015, I was once again, I'd never been to Charlotte, and I fell in love with the city, and I bought a place, and, you know, it was a rental for all of these years. And so, now it's going to be home.
And what are you going to do?
That's another question. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. It's the first time that I've transitioned and not being sure what the next step is going to be. Every time I've moved on, like we spoke earlier, when I started dancing, you know, when I saw a chorus line, it's like, I want to be a dancer, you know? And I danced with a company, Hubbard Street. I knew that's where I wanted to be. And I always wanted to do a musical because chorus line started this journey. And I said, I wanted to be in Lion King, and here I am. So I'm excited to not know and to see what the next chapter brings.
Peter, I'm sorry, I called you Hargrove a minute ago. Peter Hargrave is with us. He plays Scar. Yeah, more than 100 million people have seen The Lion King since 1997. It's played on every continent except Antarctica. You can't take elephants to Antarctica. It's the highest grossing live show in history. And here you are, a lead character in it, in this machine that people have expectations of. What is it like? Because this is not just for kids. This is for adults, too.
Yeah, I think it's a great privilege. I equate it. I'd never done a big Broadway show before. And I equate it to wanting to play in the big leagues. And all of a sudden, you're playing shortstop for the New York Yankees. It feels like it's a position that has a lot of history, and it holds a lot of potential, and the things that the show brings all of us is really amazing, not least of which is the circle of life that happens in our audience every night, which is, you know, it's going to be somebody's first show, and you know it might be somebody's last show as well, bringing their grandkids or something like that. Having had The Lion King be so important to me, it's so important that we do the same show every night. We bring the same intensity, which 8 shows a week all over the country, 52 weeks a year, not just the country. We also play Canada and Mexico as well. So it's no joke, but the beauty and the privilege that it is to be a part of this show, it's something that you never want to shortchange any performance.
Michael, as the puppet supervisor, you have a zoo to contend with here, and some of these puppets are simpler than others. Others are really, really complicated and involved and enormous. And probably there's some peril in there, because as you work in live theater, things happen. Things go wrong. How do you handle that in the middle of a show? If the elephant has a problem, you can't call a vet.
You know, it's live theater, and that's the beauty of it. You come to see the show, and it's a little different every single night. My favorite story is the elephant coming down the aisle. It gets to the stairs leading to the stage, and it falls over on the pit. Mm. And all 4 people in the elephant are stuck. They can't move. They can't get out of it. So one of our dainty little bird ladies from the other side comes over, puts down her birds very gently on the stage, grabs the elephant's spine, and lifts all 4 people and the elephant back to their feet, and we continue the show.
Just like real life. you've been with the show for a long time, too. I think you've been with it since, what, 2000? Is that right?
Yeah, about 2000, 99, 2000.
So since you and Jeff have both been with the show for almost a quarter of a century, what keeps the two of you going? Michael, I'll start with you.
I just love what I do. I love what I do, and it's different every day for me, which is a true blessing, because, you know, some of the monotony of other jobs can really get people down. My job is different every day. Peter finds us new ways to break his things every single day. Sorry, Peter. So that's the beauty for me.
Actually, I since you're giving it up, Jeff, I'm not going to ask you that question. But Peter, very quickly, because I have 30 seconds left, what do you hope people take away from this show?
I just hope that it's a story rooted in family and connection to those around us, not just our family, our friends, our ancestors, those people that come before us and make our life possible. It's a story of connection, so I hope people use it as an opportunity to connect with those around us.
Peter Hargrave plays Scar in this production of The Lion King. Michael Riley is the puppet supervisor. Jeff Myers, the dance supervisor. It's playing at the Belk Theater of BlumenthalArts.org through September the 8th. Thank you all.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.